Look at the first two verses, not a 2 Kings chapter 22. The Bible says Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jedidiah, the daughter of Adiah of Boscath. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. In these two verses, we see the coronation of the potentate. Josiah is 8 years old when he begins to reign. The Bible tells us that he reigned for 31 years as the king of all Judah. And Josiah became king at such a young age, the age of 8, because his father, his name was Amon, his father was a wicked man, an evil king. And the Bible would tell us that his father was assassinated after only 2 years of service. So in other words, his daddy was 24 years old when he died. This boy is 8 years old when he comes to be king. Now the nation of Judah has fell on hard times because of his daddy Amon and the apostasy he lived in, and because of his grandpa Manasseh. His grandpa Manasseh was king at 12 years old, and he reigned for 55 years. Most of those 55 years, probably 50 plus of those 55 years, in wickedness. With wicked practices of idolatry and witchcraft and all kinds of rebellion that he reigned in. And so you might say the general description of the entire kingdom when this young man at 8 years old is made king, he's in a pitiful situation to come into. Yet the Bible says in verse number 2 that he did that which was right in the Lord's sight. And I ask this question every time I see that: what does the Lord think about you? Can He say you do that which is right in the sight of the Lord? Josiah did. He is the mere complete opposite of his daddy and of his grandpa. And it is important tonight that you see this in 1 Kings 13. Turn back to 1 Kings 13. It's important that you see this as this young man has been coronated or crowned as king of all Judah at 8 years old. In 1 Kings 13, 300 years before Josiah is the king, the Bible says in verse number 1, "And behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel. And Jeroboam," that was the king in that day, "Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. And he cried against the altar in the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord." Understand, let me say this. Jeroboam's offering a sacrifice on the altar, he's forbidden to do so. God's against it. The man of God comes right in and getting King Jeroboam's face, and he says, "O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name." 300 years before Josiah was born, this man of God comes in and says, there's going to come a child, going to be born in the house of David, Josiah by name, "and upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burned upon thee. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, This is the sign which the Lord hath spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out." And you remember the king put out his hand toward the man of God, and God smote him. The king, God smote him right there, and he was not able to move. In fact, according to Scripture, if you look down here, the man of God had to pray that the king's hand would be restored again. 300 years before Josiah was born, God said, "I've got a young man that's going to be king, and when he comes in, he's going to get rid of these wicked, idolatrous practices that this nation has tried to establish." And we roll fast forward 300 years to 2 Kings chapter 22, and here's a young man, 8 years old, been made king. 55 years his grandpa was king, he is wicked. 2 years his daddy was king, he was wicked. All his influences around him are for the negative, yet this young man somehow that God had prophesied is going to serve the Lord. Ain't that a blessing? God knew what he would do and what he would be before he ever was born. So we see the coronation of the potentate. Second of all, We see the commitment of the palace. You won't see it in this 2 Kings 22. You got to go to 2 Chronicles chapter 34. 2 Chronicles chapter 34. Preacher, you're bouncing us around a lot already. I don't like that. I'm losing track. Just hang on, plug in, it'll be all right. 2 Kings chapter 34, verse 1. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. He reigned in Jerusalem 130 years. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. For in the 8th year of his reign, okay, this is his commitment. He's 16 years old now. In the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David his father. Thank God. 16 years old, he's serving the Lord. Read on. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and the carved images and the molten images. In other words, now he's 20 years old and he's starting to get rid of these idolatrous pagan practices. And they break down the altar of Balaam in his presence, and the images that were on high above he cut down, and the groves and the carved images and the molten images he break in pieces and made dust of them and strode it upon the graves of them that had sacrificed unto them. And he burnt the bones of the priests upon their altars and cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. Hey, what happened? What was said about him 300 years before? When he comes in, he's going to get rid of all these idolatrous practices and all these false priests and prophets. He's going to burn them on them false altars. He did. Right there he did. When he's 20, he did. Amen. 20 years old, he got rid of all that mess. So he did in the cities of Manasseh and Ephraim and Simeon, even on the Naphtali with their mattocks round about. And when he had broken down the altars in the groves and had beaten the graven images into powder and cut down all the idols throughout all the land of Israel, he returned to Jerusalem. What about that? He's made a commitment here. I'm going to serve God. 16 years old. By the time he's 20, he's brave enough to stand up. He's been ruling for 12 years. He's brave enough to stand up in front of his entire nation and says, we're getting rid of all this wicked junk. We're going to burn it all. We're going to kill all them that want to serve these false gods. And we're going to serve the Lord God only. Imagine what would happen in America if that was said. You think it would be popular? You think it would be easy for President Obama to make that declaration? You think he'd get a little resistance from the Democrats? What about the Republicans? I bet the Tea Party might even get a little bit upset. Huh? This young man at 20 years old did just that. That's a commitment of the palace. Now back to 2 Kings chapter number 22. Thirdly, I want you to see the commencement of the project. The commencement of the project. 2 Kings 22 verse 3. And it came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah. He's 26 now. 26 years old. That the king sent to Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, the son of Meshullam, the scribe, to the house of the Lord, saying, go up to Hilkiah, the high priest, that he may sum the silver which is brought into the house of the Lord, which the keepers of the door have gathered of the people, and let them deliver it into the hand of the doers of the work that have the oversight of the house of the Lord, and let them give it to the doers of the work which is in the house of the Lord to repair the breaches of the house. This young man is 26 years old. He's got a project. He said, we want to refurbish. We want to repair. We want to amend the house of God. You understand, under his daddy and under his grandpa for 57 years, if you didn't do anything to your house for 57 years, what do you think it's going to look like? Be in bad shape. If we didn't do something at the house of God to keep, they weren't cleaning it or anything for 57 years, not doing anything to it. So all of a sudden, Josiah says, after 57 years, we're going to repair the house of God. We're going to amend it. I want us to go and count up how much silver that's been given in tax money and in offerings. He said, it's going to take some money. Hello? It's going to take some money if we're going to work on this project. Do you understand that? People talk to me first, well, I don't want to hear about money. I don't want to hear about money. Well, bless God, if you want to do something, it's going to cost a little money. You go out to eat, it's going to cost you some money. Huh? That's right. You want to have something done, it's going to cost a little money. You've got to have appropriation of the funds, or it ain't going to happen. Okay? So the funds are secured. And he says, the king, Josiah says, Shaphna, you are my scribe. I want you to go to the house of God, and I want you to tell Hilkiah, the high priest. This is the best way I can do this, preacher. Come on up here. You're going to be Hilkiah, the high priest. You sit up here with me. I need somebody to amen me anyway. He said, I want you to tell Hilkiah, the high priest, you're going to be the overseer. You're going to have the oversight of this entire project. And you make sure all the funds are appropriated, and you hire the workers, and you make sure they do what I want them to do. I want them to work at the house of God. It's going to take a little organization. It's going to take a little funding. But I'm behind you. The palace is behind you all the way. Thanks be unto God. All right. So he sends this messenger to the man of God. He says, verse 6, unto carpenters and builders and masons and to buy timber and hewn stone to repair the house. Howbeit, there was no reckoning made with them of the money that was delivered into their hand. Do you see that? They didn't have to give a report back to the government. Somebody will say amen. They didn't have to give a report back to the church. We took $12 out of the treasury and we bought 14 cans of pork and beans. Better make sure that's in there. We want to know about it. Okay? That it was not reported back to the church. Was not reported, and I'm not trying to get away with nothing. I like reporting stuff. But because Hilkiah was trustworthy. You understand the man of God ought to be trustworthy? I mean, you got to watch America nowadays. The men of God aren't trustworthy anymore. I wonder if they're really men of God. But the men of God's got to be trustworthy. And not only trustworthy, but you got to hire some trustworthy workers. Do you know how hard it is to hire trustworthy workers? That you could walk away from your property while they're there working and expect the job's going to be done? In other words, they didn't have to give a great big account of things because these men were trustworthy. Because they dealt faithfully. I like that. Hey, can I say something to you, Hilkiah? Do you know you got a boy? I studied this out. You know who your boy is? It's Jeremiah, the prophet. Look that up in Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 when you have time, okay? So, we understand that this king has sent him to commence a project. And we see it being commenced. Number 4, we're going to wind up right here, a little bit of time. We see the coronation, the confrontation of power. And Hilkiah, the high priest, said unto Shaphan, the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. What? The man of God, Hilkiah, came to Shaphan and says, I found the book of the law. That's what I want to preach on tonight. I'm glad I found the book. They've come in the house of God. 57 years it's been run down. I mean, they ain't using the Word of God, obviously. Probably them wicked kings that tried to rid Judah of the true Word of God. They'd probably get rid of every copy. But Hilkiah said, while we were working, doing the stonework and the carpentry work, while we were working, I found the book of the law. And Hilkiah says to Shaphan, here, this is the book of the law. You know what? The high priest didn't read it. But he gave it to the scribe. And the Bible says, the scribe, he read it. And Shaphan the scribe came to the king and brought the king word again and said, thy servants have gathered the money that was found in the house and have delivered it into the hand of them that do the work, that have the oversight of the house of the Lord. And Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath delivered me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes. During the work of this immense project, they found the book of the law. Probably the first 5 books of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, right? Deuteronomy, okay? We believe that he found all those books. I really believe, according to Deuteronomy, chapter number 31, turn there, Deuteronomy 31, Moses had instructed the people in Deuteronomy 31, verse number 24. And it came to pass when Moses had made an end of the writing, the words of this law in a book, until they were finished, that Moses commanded the Levites, which bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, saying, take this book of the law and put it in the sight of the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, that it may be there for a witness against thee. Now, they're trying to get rid of the Word of God. But there was one copy left. You see, there's a lot of people trying to get rid of the true Word of God. Want to change this? Change that. I'm going to tell you something. God's got the original copy. Heaven and earth shall pass away, He said, but My Word shall not pass away. Don't you think God's big enough to hide His Word? So that old Manasseh and so that Amon can't get rid of Him? And He's hid that Word of God, and Moses has told Him where to hide it there in the sight of the Ark of the Covenant. And so Hilkiah says, you know what? We found the book of the law. And he gives it to the scribe. Now I have a problem why the man of God, Hilkiah, why he didn't read the book. And I looked this up. George Barna did a study. This was a poll. 90% of pastors polled said they had not read the book all the way. 90% had not read the book. You're looking at me funny. All right. Let me ask you, how many of you have read the book cover to cover? Oh, got quiet. Let me say this to you. In Arizona, they passed a new law about immigration, right? Big controversy right now about the law. And Miss Napolitano, or Harry, say her name, said, I'm against that law. I don't like it. And spoke against it. John McCain asked, have you read it? Have you read the law? No, but I don't like it. There's another man said, I don't like it. Have you read it? No. You see, the problem is, most people ain't reading the book. It's the book of the law of God. And most people don't take time to read the book of the law of God. 90% of pastors don't take time to read the book of the law. I want to say something to y'all. Thank God I found the book. Or thank God it found me, amen. I'm glad I have a copy of the Word of God, and I'm glad to report to you, I've read it through a number of times. You may say it didn't help you much. You just don't know how bad a shape I was in before I read it. I'm coming along. You just don't realize it. You realize why some time ago, why the Lord birthed into my heart, said I'm going to get in the pulpit, and I'm going to read from Matthew 1:1 to the book of Revelations. All the way through. 2.5 hours every night. If you want to come, all we're going to do is read. Come, we'll take 2.5 hours. We'll go home. Tomorrow night we'll come back, read 2.5 hours more. Preacher, that would have bored me to death. You know why? We don't read the book of the Word of God like we ought to read the Word of God. In that book are words of life. They're words of help, amen. They'll help us along the way. Hilkiah found the book, but he said, here, you read it. Amen. Well, I'm glad I found the book. Now, let me ask you this question. How in the world is Josiah making reforms if they don't even have a copy of the book of the law? That's a good question. How in the world did he get rid of all these false gods and false prophets? He didn't even have God's law. How in the world does he say, let's go down there and reinstitute and work at the house of God and clean it up? He even got the Word of God, and he's willing to serve Him. We've got the Word of God, and it's all we can do to read it. Well, is it possible that the book of the law had been neglected? Do you know how many churches not neglect the book of the law? I tell you what had happened. Josiah was being led by the providence of God. The providence of God is the way God leads us when we won't be led. Let me qualify that statement. Before you got saved, can you believe you lived through it to get to the place of salvation? I should have been took out of here a number of times, preacher, but somehow I made it through. I don't know how I got through. You was being led when you wouldn't be led. God had His hand on you. It was a hand of providence to get you to a place that the gospel could be preached to you and presented to you that you might receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's providence of God is the way God leads His people, won't be led. In the book of Esther, not one time in the entire book is the word God or the Lord or any of those statements about Jehovah mentioned one time. Not one time in the whole book of Esther. It's in the Word of God. You see, what had happened was, God had told the people to go back home to the land of Israel. But they had been in captivity so long, when they were released, they said, we like it here. Probably want to go back home and have to start rebuilding everything. We're happy here. We're making farms. We've got sheep. We've got businesses. We're merchant men. Hey, they're out of the will of God. If God says go home and they don't go home, they're out of the will of God. So God, providentially, through Esther, was leading the people of God when they would not be led. That's what God does for us. So he's leading Josiah, and he ain't got the Word of God yet. So, here comes Shebna, the scribe. You see it? Here he comes, Shaphan, the scribe. He comes down there, and he says in verse 9, listen to what he mentions to him. No, I can't go there. Go back to Deuteronomy. I want to say something about this real quick. I just feel led I got to say this. I need to prove this out, so I just can't see it. You got to see it. How could the Word of God be neglected? How could it be neglected? Do you realize in Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 18, this is the book of the law, this is what it says. It shall be, verse 18, Deuteronomy 17, it shall be when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests, the Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes to do them, that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from the commandment to the left hand or to the right hand or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. Every king was supposed to have their own personal copy of the law of God. Every king. Josiah didn't have it. I bet his daddy Amon didn't have it. Manasseh probably didn't even have it. Deuteronomy 31, while we're here real close, verse number 9. What's this? And Moses wrote this law and delivered it unto the priests, the sons of Levi, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and to all the elders of Israel. And Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years, in the solemnity of the year of release, in the Feast of the Tabernacles, when all Israel is come to appear before the Lord thy God, in the place which he shall choose, thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Gather the people together, men and women and children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may hear, and that they may learn, and fear the Lord your God, and observe to do all the words of this law, and that their children, which have not known anything, may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God, as long as you live in the land, whether you go over Jordan to possess it. Every king was to have a copy of the law. And every 7 years, the law was to be read publicly at the Feast of the Tabernacles. Furthermore, in the book of Deuteronomy, we'll turn there and look at this, but the Levites are commanded to scatter abroad amongst the nation, and everywhere they go, they're supposed to be teaching the people the law of God. What's happened here? The Word of God's got neglected. The king don't have his copy. They're not reading it every 7 years, and the Levites aren't teaching it anymore. It's what's happened to most of our churches. I'm not trying to bore you to death here. I'm just trying to prove something to you. Go back with me to Joshua chapter number 8. Joshua chapter 8. I just want to prove this little theory out. Understand now that they've come across the Jordan there. And verse 34 says, and afterward he read all the words of the law, the blessings and cursings, according to all that is written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses commanded, which Joshua read not before all the congregation of Israel, with the women and the little ones, and the strangers that were conversant among them. You see that? Joshua, when they get in the promised land, they kept the law by reading the Word of God. Not one person was absent from that assembly. The next time we see them reading the Word of God publicly, how often are they supposed to do it? 7 years. Every 7 years. The next time we see it is over here in 2 Kings or 2 Chronicles chapter 17. Go there. Jehoshaphat's the king. Verse number 9 says, they taught in Judah, had the book of the law of the Lord with them, and went about throughout all the cities of Judah and taught the people. Do you realize between Joshua and Jehoshaphat was 500 years? Now, preacher, just because it don't say they read the Word of God don't mean they didn't read it. True. But what if they didn't read it for 500 years? And you realize the next time, since Jehoshaphat was king, Hilkiah says, I found the book of the law. Do you know how many years it's been since it's been read publicly? 250 years. Let me ask you a question. How old are you? Had to think about that, didn't you? 48. When was the last time you went downtown Spruce Pine and heard somebody standing up gathering people around saying, we need to read the Word of God? In the whole city, the mayor stood up and everybody around said, we're going to go down here and read the Word of God. Never happened, did it? 48 years, never happened. So Bobby, how old are you? You mind tell me? 60. You ever heard of that? 68, never happened. You see, they went 500 years, read it one time, went 250 years. Now Josiah's got this hand. Do you understand what's happening in our nation? When was the last time in 200 years that our whole nation gathered together on a day of prayer or something and said, we're going to read the Word of God? Let me say something to you, Bethel. I invited this whole church of 450 people to come so we could read the Word of God. We had 37 show up. Now, I'm not trying to scorch you with it, but at the end of doing that, the very next week, you know how many God saved? 37. Now, you may say, that's the craziest thing I ever heard of. God's law says we should read His Word publicly without me making any exposition or comments. Oh, preacher, I was really worried. You'd preach till 12 o'clock at night, and I just couldn't stay here that late. Or I'd have been here. I know how that works. The confrontation of power here, go with me, chapter number 22 of Kings now. Here we go, 2 Kings chapter 22. We're going to move quickly. The confrontation of power is God's Word has confronted Josiah. He's serving the Lord. He's repairing the house of God. He's got rid of that wicked bunch, right? What's he done wrong? He ain't read the Word of God. He ain't read the Word of God. Look here with me at 2 Kings chapter number 22. When Shaphan the scribe, verse 9, came to him, this is what he tells him. He said, thy servants have gathered the money. What was the first thing he mentioned? The money. Is that the first thing we mentioned in our church? Either how many was here, or how much money did you get? Some of these youngins here took up the offer another night, Sunday night. Did y'all see them? 8 youngins. My boy's one of them. Sunday night. My boy came to me and he said, Dad, he said, can I take up offering again next Sunday night? I said, you like doing that, son? He said, I sure did. I said, how much money did you get? He said, we didn't get any in air plate. And I said, you're fired. Oh, preacher, we'd give our money on Sunday morning. I know that, but do you understand? Do you understand what I'm trying to tell you here? That in the Word of God, the first thing that Shaphan, the scribe, mentioned was the money. The second thing he mentioned was the project. He said, we've hired the workers and given it to those that have the oversight at work of the work at the house of the Lord. They were more interested in the money and how the money was appropriated and being spent than he was this book of the law that he just got. And thirdly, here's what he says. The third thing he mentions was, he says, Hilkiah the priest hath delivered me a book. I'm glad you preached to me before, preacher. I appreciate you bringing me the book of the Word of God, sharing it with me, amen. He said, Hilkiah brought to me a book, and Shaphan read it before the king. And the king heard the words of the book of the law, and he rent his clothes. He saw himself in sin. He saw himself not measuring up. You see, that's what we're doing in our churches. We want something to make us feel good. Money makes us feel good. Seeing projects being accomplished makes us feel good. We like all those things. Attendance makes us feel good. But reading the Word of God might not be a whole lot of fun. Might not make us feel good. Now the Word of God's been found. It's been read and now it's being spread. as he's confronted with hearing the word of God, he tears his royal clothes. He is the king in charge. He is the absolute monarch of the land, and he could say, I don't want to hear this. I refuse it. I reject it. But he tore off his royal robes, and he sat down in sorrow over his sin. Realizing he has not obeyed God, his nation has not obeyed God, the king commanded Hilkiah the priest, and Ahiakim the son of Shaphan, and Achbor the son of Micaiah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Athaliah, a servant of the king's, saying, Go ye, inquire of the Lord for me, and for the people, and for all Judah concerning the words of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book, to do according unto all that is written concerning us. The king recognizes, we're in trouble. God said he would curse us if we didn't read his word. God said he would curse us if we didn't honor him 100%. We've not done that. Hey, America, we ain't done it either. He takes these guys. There's five of them. You know what five is? Fifth time Noah's name's in the word of God. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He sends out a grace party saying, hey, go inquire of God. What are we going to do? Boy, we're in bad shape here. 2 Corinthians 7:10 says, Godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. So these four go out. We see the confrontation of power. The king's got power, but he humbles himself to the authority of God. You see, our churches don't even humble themselves to the authority of God. We put our pastor on some pedestal. He don't belong there. You put the deacons on the pedestal. They don't belong there. Jesus is the one to be exalted. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Most of our churches are not honoring Christ. We've got to honor and exalt Christ. And it's done through the book of the law, the Word of God. There must be a return to the Word of God. How much do you read it at home? God help us. Last of all, and I'm done. We see the communication of promise. Verse 14. So Hilkiah the priest, and Ahiakim, and Achbor, and Shaphan, and Asaiah went unto Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shallum, the son of Tikvah, the son of Harhas, keeper of the wardrobe. Now she dwelt in Jerusalem in the college, and they communed with her. Where'd they go? He said, you go inquire of the Lord. Boys, I don't know anybody around here that's even serving God. We can't find anybody serving God. What are we supposed to do? There's a lady, she's a prayer warrior. She's an old-timey saint of God. Somehow they come to Huldah, the prophetess. Sure did. You may not like it, but it's in the Word of God. They come over there to her, and according to Scripture, then she said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel. Now listen, I'm going to tell y'all something. I'm not into women preachers either. But when Jesus, listen, and I don't believe the Word of God teaches there to be women preachers. But when Jesus got up from the grave, and the angel told the women, go tell his disciples that he is risen. They were the first ones, the women were the first ones to tell the men, Jesus is alive. Well, that's preaching though. That's testimony. They were a witness to what happened. They were eyewitness. They're sharing their testimony. That's why I don't have a problem with a woman jumping up in this church saying, thank God he saved me. Appreciate what the Lord's doing for me. Some churches wouldn't allow a woman to do that. It's wrong. Wouldn't allow men to do it in some churches either. Scare them to death. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, tell the man that sent you to me. Who sent him? The king. She's saying, go tell the king, thus saith the Lord. Behold, I will bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the words of the book which the king of Judah hath read. Why? Because they have forsaken me. That's what the Lord says. They have forsaken me and have burned incense unto other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be kindled against this place and shall not be quenched. But to the king of Judah, which sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus shall you say to him, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, as touching the words which thou hast heard, because thine heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord,
And thou, when thou heardest that what I spake against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and hast rent thy clothes and wept before me, I also have heard thee, saith the Lord. Behold, therefore, I will gather thee unto thy fathers. Thou shalt be gathered unto thy grave in peace. Thine eyes shall not see all the evil which I will bring upon this place. And they brought the king word again. He said, you know what? This wrath of God. Here what I'm going to tell you. If you don't get anything else, get this. Because of their sin before the Lord and their lack of repentance, the wrath of God is inevitable. The judgment of God is going to fall. God says, Josiah, because your heart is tender. Tender to what? Tender to the Word of God. You're willing to hear it and heed it. Because your heart is tender to the convicting voice of the Spirit of God. Because your heart is tender to the message of God's pending judgment. He said, because you've humbled yourself, because you've wept sore, I heard you and I saw you, and I will not send the judgment, the wrath of God, in your lifetime. I'm going to extend to you mercy. I'm going to extend to you a reprieve for a period of time that will last at least all the days of Josiah's life. Could it be that America's going to get away with killing all those babies? Could it be that America's going to get away with murder on the streets of Detroit, Washington, D.C.? Do you really think that our leadership and our government has got God fooled enough to where God will just keep prospering and blessing our land anyway? I have found the book of the law, and it says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And America has said, we're not a Christian nation. We're not a Christian nation. They're more afraid of Muhammad and Islam than they are afraid of Jesus and the Lord God of glory. But could it be that if America would humble themselves? You see, the key was Josiah had a tender heart. How about you and me? If God's people would have a tender heart rather than be hard-hearted to the things of God and want my way, we're spoiled rotten, y'all. If we'd really hear the Word of God and look at our nation and fear God, knowing that our children need a place to live where they can hear the gospel, we'd humble ourselves before Him. Maybe, just maybe, God would send to us a reprieve and the inevitable judgment of God would not fall. Preacher, why do you say inevitable? Because it is coming. He did say this, that there would be a great tribulation. 7 years. But this is what God said to the believer. That won't happen in your lifetime. Preacher, say that again. 7 years of great tribulation? And you say it won't happen in a believer's lifetime? No, because He's going to rapture the believers out of here. You see, that's the promise He's made us. I'll come and get you and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. But after we're raptured out, a great tribulation takes place. He said, Josiah, you don't have to worry. You won't be here. Won't be there in your lifetime. Ain't that good? All that's in the Word of God, y'all. Ain't you glad you found the book? You was on your way to a devil's hell. But thank God somebody found the book, took it to heart, stood up by the call of God, started preaching, thus saith the Lord, Jesus died on the cross for your sins. He was buried and He raised up on the third day, and anybody that looks to Him and calls upon Him, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. That's in the book. Ain't you glad the man of God had the book when he preached to you? Ain't you glad the Spirit of God used the book to convict your heart, and somewhere along the way it found you, and when you heard the message, you got saved. Hallelujah. And He made you a promise, and He said, this great terrible judgment of God will not fall during your lifetime. You're going to be raptured home before the tribulation comes. But it didn't say that it couldn't still get pretty bad while we're here. I believe if our nation would repent, I believe if there'd just be a little remnant, say, God, we just want to have our hearts tender. I'll ask you, because I studied all day long about the heart today. The heart, the heart. I guess I'm going to get to preach on that at some point in time. But Pharaoh's heart got hard. How about yours? Do you get hard-hearted sometimes with the gospel message? Or you still cry every time you hear it? Do you get hard-hearted when the preacher preaches? It's time to go home? The question would be, what time is time to go home? That's what I used to think. I used to think what time it was to go home. 12 o'clock time to go home. Prayer meeting night, I don't know what time to go home, but I think 8 o'clock sounds good. That's time to go home, but who am I to tell God? Well, you stand your feet, I'm done. I'm glad somebody found the book. Thank God I've got the book. David said, "Thy word, O God, have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." Thank you, Hilkiah. I'm glad you found the book, brother. Praise the Lord. Lord, we thank you for the word of God. Lord, I want to thank you that the book found me. And I'm glad, Father, I have a copy personally endorsed by its author, Jesus Christ. Father, I pray you to help us, Lord. We ought to look in our lives and say, have I got the book? Or have I neglected the book? I mean, I've got the book at home, but do I read it? Do I study it? Do I look at its pages? Do I pray? Oh, God. Forgive our nation. We're not tender-hearted as we should be. Josiah, that great king, was going through all these religious reforms, and when he heard the word of God, he sat down and wept sore. And he was doing the best he could to serve you and straighten things out, but when he heard the book of the law, he still didn't measure up. And God, the truth of the matter is, the word of God shows us who we are compared to who you are, and Lord, we just don't measure up. Forgive us, Lord, I pray. Help us, Father, do better. Thank God for the book. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.